and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills. Almighty God has made each mountain shout, each valley thrills to sing the Savior's praise. I'll sing the Savior's praise. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Lord, I put my trust in you. Let me never be ashamed. Your mighty arm has rescued me, and I will praise your name. Oh Lord, I'll praise your name. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Come one, come all, let's gather and worship. Come one, come all, throw open the door. Come one, come all, the song is beginning.
Lift up your voices in
praise to the Lord. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord. Praise to the Lord.
Good morning, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth.
Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise your name because of your faithfulness to your people everywhere. As a public service in our community and the country, we are reminded in the scriptures to pray for our president. And so we pray that you give him the wisdom to know and to do what is right and the courage to say no to all that is contrary to your statutes of the holy law. Lord, in an increasingly complex and dangerous world, we need to drop to our knees and acknowledge our dependency on our mighty God and ask Him to reveal His will, just as King David did long time ago. It is an honor to have missionaries around the world, and we pray for your mercy and encouragement in each one of them. We believe for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benal Madena, Spain, Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, the Athletic Sport Association in San Jose, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy, Martha Paretti in Argentina in the Rehabilitation Center, Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministries, and Father, we pray that Danny may have a good flight today from Colorado back home. For Giovanni and Andaño in Guatemala, for David Rhodes in Papua in New Guinea. Thank you, Father. And we pray for more missionaries to be accepted. And Father, I'm just dealing with three, and I pray that you guide us to select two more, so that we can enlarge our ministry through these people. Father, assist those who are sick. We remember Loretta Forrest, a giant of the Lord in bed, Betty Tarp, and Mr. Peretto, who is not doing well. And Father, and I don't know if he knows you or not, but we pray for Ann Peretto that you will guide her and give her strength to assist her husband. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done as we together here in our auditorium and there over the airways of KKMC Radio and the webpage and the internet and the tape ministry and the CD ministry. We fellowship together as one extended church family. Oh God, bless us as we reminded ourselves to worship God in a spirit and in truth. We pray for those who do not understand the gospel, that they too can be a part of the great church of the living God through the grace and gift of faith that you are able to give to everyone who believe. And now once again, we magnify your name because of your provision and care for our ministry of the gospel. Lord, bless the offering and bless the giver. In our beloved Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Forgiveness, daily must I come to Thee. Bow before the Lord of mercy, clothed in Thine own purity. Thy forgiveness, great forgiveness, flowing fountain and constant pure. Thy forgiveness, Thy great forgiveness, great forgiveness.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms? If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 347. We will be reading Psalm 15, verses 1 through 5. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 15, the entire Psalm. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt, and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have made known to us that you are a holy, merciful, and just God. We thank you that you have revealed this to us because we now see Jesus. We thank you for sending the unspeakable gift of your Son. We thank you for adopting us into your family because of the merits of the Lord Jesus in whom we have believed. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. We thank you for raising up such men who faithfully serve through the teaching of the word and shepherding the flock of our chief shepherd. We pray for ourselves here in this place and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD that you would give us hearing with understanding, that your word would be our meat and drink. We pray that many unbelievers would hear and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. In his name we ask it. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And I'm going to take this microphone away for your knowledge, and so that way I can look to you. We are engaged on this month of February in a topic that is very proper: wisdom and understanding ourselves. One of the things that Solomon, if you can give a little more volume to the tapes are sometimes low because of this. Solomon pray for before become king for wisdom. And I think we should add to our life wisdom and understanding of who we are. Last Sunday, we began the study on Ephesians 1, the wisdom and understanding of our privilege. What a marvelous privilege we have as Christians. Now today I bring your attention to Psalm 15, understanding our citizenship, or as my friends the British will say, understanding the common wealth of your life. If you hold one hand in Psalm 15, which is on page 347, I will call your attention to Philippians 3:20 for a second, page 692. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. And I'm going to, if you're using the King James Bible, I just make a change in one word there, in the word conversation. And Philippians 3:20, the apostle trying to remind the church of Philippi who they were in the presence of God. And he says, for our conversation or our citizenship, actually the word in Ephesians 2:12 is commonwealth. Our commonwealth is in heaven. And so that's a very important issue. Our commonwealth is in heaven. Most of you have only one citizenship, Americans. My wife and I carry two. And the Korean people who are born in Korea here, or those who are Chinese or Japanese or whatever your nationality, you carry at least two citizenship, the country of birth and then the country of adoption. And the word citizenship is a very interesting word in the original language. Politimeo means you become part of the whole. You have made a home which is now part of the whole. You are a part of the entire environment, and you have adopted a new home, politimeo, and very, very interesting. Now, we need to understand our citizenship. If you are born in America, maybe you took classes in high school. You don't remember now, but you took classes about America and so on. And for us to become citizens, we have to take classes and then appear before a judge, and he will take you an exam I remember he asked me, I knew all the questions except one. Who was the governor? No, who was the senator? That was year 71. Who was the senator of the state of California? And I don't know the answer, but I looked at the judge and I said, you know, I don't know who he is, but I love him. You know, and he said, oh, you got it. He said, all right. And he called my friend, Mr. Adrian Franken, a man from Holland. He said, okay, he's a good man. He said, it's all right. And at that time, there was a very, very one-to-one close examination of each person to become a citizen. But you have to know certain rules and regulations and certain conducts and how to behave in the country and what to do and not to do and what is a part of your life is a right and what is a privilege, like driving is a privilege, we find out, and any other country is a right, and America is a privilege. And so you learn that distinguishes factors of life as you take your citizenship class. And so this morning you are taking a citizenship class for a spiritual behavior, all right? If you belong to the kingdom of God, if you are part of that beautiful city of God in heaven, the Psalm 15, if you move your Bible to Psalm 15, page 347, Psalm 15 is start with a great question. Lord, and you know this in the King James, the word Lord in capital letters, which is now not talking about any God, it's talking about only one God, Jehovah. All right? Because people talk about God, but the Bible talks about one God, Jehovah. And they say, Jehovah, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who are the members of the commonwealth of the kingdom of God? That should be the question. Lord, who's going to heaven? Who's going to heaven? And so the Lord very graciously in Psalm 15 describe for us that distinctiveness that is normal to the ones who belong to the commonwealth of God. So we go over verse by verse and look, what are the characteristics? What are the things that people notice most? And these are not all. You have to go through other passages of the scripture in Ephesians and so on who describe the commonwealth of God. But these are very key thoughts, include some legal part in this verse. Very interesting, some business part. All right, let's look verse by verse, and I just give you an idea of how you can remember. I know you know this, but you can remember, oh, okay, this is what is right, and this is not what is right. Okay, here they are. In reference to our lifestyle, verse 2. Now look at very carefully. What are the distinctiveness of my citizenship in reference to my lifestyle? I'm entirely different. You know, if you're in any airport in the world, I've been in England, I've been in Europe, I have been in every city in South America, and I can pinpoint in America just blind, almost. All right? You can. So this is the way that people should distinguish us. In reference to our lifestyle, verse 2. I read verse 2 and I tell you what it is. He that walketh uprightly. The word uprightly is a word made of two compound Hebrew verbs, which means blameless according to law. A very compound word. It's a one who walk according to the letter. So he must know the letter if he's going to walk according to the letter. One who walks according to the letter and worketh of thus what is right, worketh righteousness, thus what is right, and speaketh the truth in his heart. So here is what the verse 2 is saying to all of us. A reference to our lifestyle, a citizen of heaven, walk in this way. There is a harmony between thinking, performance, and speaking. Look at this. There is a harmony between thinking. He that walketh blameless according to the law. In other words, he thinks the law. And many of you know the Word of God. And if you are in this church, you know the Word of God. Yesterday I spoke in a large, you know, I enjoy speaking in conference, a large conference in the city of Pleasanton, three churches together, and they were Spanish. And there were television people, and there were reporters, people from the university, and so on. And they came to me and said, don't worry. The meeting was 3.5 hours. They said, don't worry about the time. He said, people need to be educated. And some of these people want to be educated, and they are in church school. The only major issue is music, they told me. And so you just take your time and watch in the auditorium and see when they find the scripture. We know what you teach. You just go ahead. It was very difficult for me in Spanish because the words in Spanish are different than in English. And some of the verses, the chapters are entirely different. But I took an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, on one verse of the scripture, on James 2:23. It took me 2.5 hours. But I wait, and we enjoy it. Now, people went out thinking. That's thinking only. They knew James 2:23. Abraham, actually, I spoke only in these words. Abraham, a friend of God. It took me 2 hours to explain it. Abraham, a friend of God. Now, those people know now what is friendship. So that's thinking. But look at what the psalm said. He that walketh blameless according to the law. In other words, you know the law and you know the scripture. And there are a lot of people who know the scripture and know the law. But that's not enough. Look at this. And that's what is right. That means performance. You know the law and you follow the law. Performance. That's no works for salvation. That is performance. Works for salvation is something else. You know the law and you know what the law says. And then he speaketh the truth in his heart. So he knows the law, he performs according to the law, and he speaks according to the law. In other words, there is a harmony in your life that brings beauty into everybody who is around you. Now, God talks about a fellow like that. God, I'm going to give you an example from the Bible. God speak about a fellow who was like that. He was in love with this man. Let's go to Genesis, first book of the Bible, and Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, 18, and 19. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. And chapter 18, verse 17, 18 and 19. Here's a man who has harmony in his life. And the Lord said, the Lord is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, in the background, the Lord already planned to do this. Abraham doesn't know. And the Lord is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Thing that I will do, that really is the original. Will I never tell Abraham about this? Verse 18. Why the Lord is speedy like that? Why the Lord stop and say, wait a minute, I'm going to do this, I better tell Abraham. Why? What was the relationship between God and Abraham? What was in Abraham's life that deserved that the Lord, before he acts, he said, I'm going to tell him about it. Look at verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and God is going to make that in him, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Wow. Wow. God knows Abraham. What did he know about Abraham? That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. He knows that Abraham will perform whatever is in his heart, and his house will serve the Lord. Wow. Wow. The Lord knows that Abraham is not fooling around. Whatever he knows is going to do, and whatever he does is what he's going to speak of. He has harmony in his life. That's a heavenly citizenship. Now, that is not a car salesman or a politician, all right? They're trying to lie to you, some people, about buying something that is no good, and they tell you it's good. Or a politician say, yes, I will do that, and then somebody else talk here completely opposite and say, yes, I will do that in order to be elected. I don't mention names. I just politicians, all right? But you know them. And so that's not a heavenly citizen. One of the critics in the Mercury newspaper in San Jose about President Bush is, this guy pray, and he does what he pray. I thought it was the greatest commentary about our president. He said, the problem with Bush is that he pray about it, and he does what he pray. My friend, he's true and true. But I don't know how many letters I wrote to these people to tell them that that's what a citizen of heaven is. Praise God. In reference to our lifestyle, we have harmony between our thinking, between our performance, and our speaking. Number two, in reference to our social life, verse 3 and verse 4, in reference to our social life, verse 3 and verse 4. And so I go verse by verse again. Verse 3, give the benefit of the doubt to your neighbor. Look at verse 3. He that backbiteth, the word should be slander. He that is slander not with his tongue, with his language, with his vocabulary, nor does evil, the word evil is a strong, it's called the hyper degree in Hebrew, so the word, the hyper degree of evil is malice, that is evil with intention, the right, according to core definition. So he that is slander not with his tongue, nor does malice to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach or a discredit against his neighbor. In other words, you don't speak about people, period. You gave the benefit of the doubt to your neighbor. You maybe know some stuff, but you don't say it. You don't say it. All right? Verse 4, divided in two, verse 4. Here is our social life. We don't go around talking about people. Number two, careful of his company. Look at verse 4. In whose eyes a vile, again, the Hebrew has a verb called haithil, which means the strongest one. For example, in the commandment said, thou shalt not kill. It's stronger than that. Thou shalt not murder is the translation. And so here it is. In whose eyes a cast off person is despised. So he is careful with his company. And young people, you need to be super careful with your company. And you say, how do I know? I'll show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Verse 14, page 681. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, page 681. A careful with his company. You need to really watch out for those who are not like you. Be not, said the scripture, 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together. Yoked together means, you know, you're what, part of the one, with unbelievers. See, it doesn't say with Roman Catholics or Protestants or Pentecostals. I'm not glad. But with unbelievers. I found believers in every area of denominations. Even some who looks a little cuckoo is still believing. You know, you just check in their heart, and there is a belief. They have learned wrong doctrines and looks wild, but there is a belief inside. All right? Even those who play strong music. Now, yesterday, I think we had to wash our ears at home 3 times. There were 3 churches with 3 bands, and they were all there. And for a moment, I got irritated, and I asked forgiveness to the Lord, because those people, they used to be in bars, playing for the pleasure of sexual pleasure or whatever. And now they are playing to the Lord. And you see them crying, praying. And I thought, what a gorgeous thing to see these young people, 18, 19, 20, some of them 16, over there praying to the Lord and playing. And the songs, you know, they're coming on the screen, they flash, and you don't know what's coming next. But I said, the Lord, you just hold me. And that was great. That was their style. And even they noticed me, because the pastor of the church came to me and said, don't worry. He said, you have your time. No. I said, I just, how different they are. I said, from my time. How different they are from my time. All right? So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, people who believe not. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness? Now, in this convention that I was yesterday, with all these wild things, there was a moment where somebody stood up, one of the pastors said, those who go to heaven, raise your hand, those who go to hell, sit down. Wow! You will know it right away if you go to hell or not, unless you lie. And I saw some people stay seated. Unbelievable. What communion? Listen, the church business is not social activity. It's life of death. Look at verse 15. And what concord, what union have Christ with Belial, the Arameo name of Satan? What concord have Christ with Belial? What part had they believe with the infidel? Infidel is an unbeliever. And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they will be with me. Wherefore, come out upon them. So, Psalm, going back to Psalm 15 and verse 4, and whose eyes a cast off person is despised. You have no association. You work with people who are unbelievers. You travel with people who are unbelievers, but you are no part of their life. Remember how Jesus prayed in John 17, that's the Lord's prayer, not the Matthew's 9, our Father which is in heaven. That's the disciples' prayer. But the Lord's prayer is in John 17. He said, Father, I pray for them. They are in the world, but they are not of the world. And so that's how we are. And so you judge yourself. No, you judge people, but you say, this company is okay, this other company is not. Okay, careful of his company, careful of his dealings. Look at verse 4 again. And whose eyes a cast off a person is despised, but he honored them that fear the Lord. He that swear to his own hurt and changes not. Do not go back in your deal. You make a deal, that's the deal. In other words, there used to be, people tell me, in the coffee shop with when I go on Tuesday with the elderly people, there used to be, I shake the hand and that was the contract. That's it. There's a man who delivered bread here when Monterrey was the biggest street on dirt. He's close to 90. I love to hear stories from the man telling me. I told him, bring pictures. We don't have money to take pictures at that time. In 1920. But he said, at that time I said to somebody, okay, I bring 2 dozens of bread and I don't have to sign anything. At the end of the month, they pay me. It was a straightforward. Careful in his dealings. Why the Bible said that we need to be careful in our dealings? Because the world is very smart. You know how smart is the world? You want to know how smart is the world? They want to suck you in. And when you are sucked in, the Bible says you need to fulfill your word. I want to show you something in the scripture. Go to Joshua with me. To the book of Joshua in chapter 9, page 146. And I glance at some verses for you. In Joshua chapter 9. And I tell you how smart is the world. This is not new. The people say, oh, the new generation is... No, let's go to Joshua, page 146. No, you have the first 5 books of Moses, and after Deuteronomy, you got Joshua. In chapter 9, look at what the Bible says. Verse 3, I'm just going to jump in different verses until I get the conclusion and you get the picture. In verse 3, we read these words in Joshua 9. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua have done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily or crafty, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took all sacks upon their asses and wine bottles all, and rent and bound up, and all shoes and clothed upon their feet, and all garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him, to the men of Israel, we come from a far country. Now, therefore, make ye a league with us. You know, so we are no part of these guys. They knew that Joshua was going to destroy the area. He said, we're no part of those guys. We come from far away. And perhaps they said, we know you're a mighty man. Why don't we make an agreement together? Look at verse 7. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, ye dwell among us. And how shall we make league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? From whence come ye? Verse 9. And they say unto him, from a far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. What a liars. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. In other words, they knew the story, the language of Christianity. So we heard that you were liberated from Egypt. We know the Lord. We know how mighty it is, blah, blah. They talk like a believer. Look at verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, because they make a, look at verse 15. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them leave. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. In other words, the Congress, princes, the word Congress is the word of the elite Congress of Israel. The members of the cabinet make an agreement. Yes, it is. They sign the agreement. You are my friends. Now look at what happened in verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made the league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors. And that they dwell among them. Boy, they fooled them. They fooled Joshua. Joshua! So if they fool Joshua, they can fool you, don't they? They fool Joshua. Now, what would General Joshua? Now, this is no Papa Moses, the great lawgiver. This is General Joshua, the one who cut and wore. What he will do? Look at verse 18. And the children of Israel smote them not because the rulers of the congregation, the Congress of Israel, has sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. In other words, they did not went back in their word. They were believers. Some people said, oh, they were stupid. No, sir, they were believers. That's what a believer is. You fool a believer, but you fool a believer only once. In reference to our social life, a citizen of heaven, give the benefit of the doubt to their neighbor, don't talk about people, careful of his company, he is selective by the standards, and carefully in his dealing. Before he put the signature on the paper, he's very careful what he's going to do or what he's going into. Now in reference to our conviction, let's go to Psalm 15 again. And verse 5, Psalm 15 and verse 5, in reference to our conviction. You know, I got a lot of these people coming here to this church. No, you. A lot of these people during the week, they knock the door. I need this. I need the other. I need the other. I need this. And I look like God looked to Moses, to his face. The Bible said that God looked to Moses to his face. So people should speak face to face. They say, come here, come closer. Let me talk to you. And I look on it, and I say, you're lying to me. And they took off. See? But I was in Modesto, and a lady called for help. And I knew in her voice she needed help. She said, I had no place to sleep. I said, you got a place tonight. And I got in contact with a hotel here in Aria. And got the place. And then I visited the next day to know the lady. And her daughter came in and said, Pastor, I just come from all the way from Fresno. We find out it's so expensive in Morning Hill. But I'm getting a job and I will restitute the church for the money. And I say, yes, because it's proper. The lady have heart problems. I said, do you need a doctor? I said, no, an old doctor that will help you. I said, the unit doctor said, no, he said, I'm okay. He said, I'm okay. My granddaughter came in, and then the hotel man came in. He said, you are incredible. I said, no, incredible. I had a duty, according to God, to help those in need. These ladies have need. He said, oh, a lot of people come here. Watch them out. Measure. Ask for their social security. Ask them, why are they in the state that they are now? I give him a little clink, a lot of questions on the desk. And you ask these people, well, you can ask this in the church, but we cannot ask legally in a hotel. Don't worry. At that moment, say, I'm church, I'm Bethel. Ask him the questions. Don't give money away because you give it away. People are crafty, careful in their dealing. In reference to our conviction, verse 5, he that putteth not out his money to lend, usury, no take reward against the word in English is innocent, the word should be poor. He that does these things belong to God. In other words, here is what the man lived by principle in his business. You see, Pastor, wait a minute. You mean I cannot put money in the bank for interest? The church had money in the bank for interest. Are we doing wrong? No, no, no. You saw the word poor over there? That's the key. That is the key. The Bible said, he that put not out his money to lend, nor take advantage of the poor. You see it? All right, let me go to the scripture and give you the law. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 22, page 50. Back to Exodus chapter 22, verse 25, page 50 in our Bible. Exodus, second book of the Bible, chapter 22, verse 25. Look at what the scripture says concerning lending. All right? Now, remember, lending is biblical. Jesus, remember the parable of Jesus as you look in Exodus? The parable of Jesus where Jesus said he had some talents, 10 talents, and the one who hid it never invested. Jesus took it away. So you invest. Investment is not against the scripture. But there is a regulation on that. Exodus 22, 25. If you lend money to any of my people, to anyone poor, here's the word again, among you, you will not play the money lender or the creditor with him. You will not demand interest from him. So if somebody is in need, and asks you for money, actually I always say this, is the rule of thumb. If somebody is really in need, and you know it's right, you lend the money thinking you'll give it away. And so you never worry. Some people ask me, say, Pastor, can I lend money to so-and-so? You don't know the things that come to my desk for question. I say, oh, only if you can give away that money, you lend it. Move to the next book. Look at Leviticus. Exodus, number Leviticus. Chapter 25, verse 36, page 83. Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 36, page 83. Do not charge him interest, and this is part of my, you know, I'm retranslating the Bible in the vernacular understanding, almost one quarter of the Bible. This is one of my verses. Do not charge him interest on a loan. Leviticus 25, verse 36. Do not charge him interest on a loan, but fear your God, and let your brother live with you. Wow! Hoo-hoo. It's really tough. So if you are not willing to do business God's way to those in need, don't do it. So let's review what we studied. Understanding our citizenship. As a member of the commonwealth of God, you have rights. Here are one. Number one, in reference to our lifestyle, here's your right. You think, you perform, and you speak all in one. All in one. In reference to our social life, don't talk about people. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Do not judge them. As a matter of fact, Romans 12, 18 to 21 said, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with God. Don't get involved with people. Leave them to the hands of the Lord. Be careful who is your company. If you're going to do business, be careful who is your business partner. If you're going to get married, be careful. Careful in your dealings. Before you sign, be sure it's true. Because once you sign, you have to fulfill it. In reference to our conviction, you live by principle, God's law, in business or anything. If you don't know, call me. I will let you know what the scripture said. I never tell people my opinion, but I tell people where to read in the Bible and where to find the reference.
So now the $4 million question comes into mind. I asked my friend, Mr. Yates, in England, in Rockford, England, I said, I think I like this country. Can I apply for citizenship? He said, oh, no. But you have to become part of the Commonwealth. And he told me the whole story. I said, let's go to the city hall, and I'm just going to play. I want to apply. I'm a visitor. I want to apply for citizenship. It's worse in Germany than in England. And they start asking me questions about my parents and grandparents. And of course, in England now, there is a 40% population in London, Arabic descendant, but it still is close. No, it is almost impossible. So I said, can I purchase the citizenship? So, oh, no, you can't. All right. Fine. How can I become part of the Commonwealth of God? That would be a fair question. Well, I tell you, you cannot purchase your membership with God. You cannot inherit the membership with God. You must receive it as a gift. I'm going to give you a reference in Acts chapter 8, verse 18, page 644, Acts chapter 8, verse 18, where a guy tried to buy the citizenship in the kingdom of God. There is a guy by the name Simon that he saw that was so good to become a Christian. You got such a power in your hand to become a Christian that he wanted to be a part of the membership and he wanted to purchase. He offered to pay to Apostle Peter. Let me read it for you. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18. And when Simon is the guy who wanted to buy the membership, saw that through laying of hand, the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. He offered them money. When he saw the people were getting saved and getting out of the devil in their heart, and at that particular time of transition of the church, the apostle had the power. The apostles only had the power in his hand to bestow the Holy Spirit. Then when he saw that, he said, can I buy this? What a good business. Verse 19, saying, give me also this power, that on whosoever I lay hand, he may receive the Holy Spirit. He wants to be part of the kingdom of God without knowing what is the kingdom of God. A lot of people do that. How can I be part of your church? My church? It's not my church, it's God's church. Now look at the next verse, verse 20. And Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You cannot purchase the kingdom of God with money. You cannot purchase the kingdom of God with a decision of your life. You cannot purchase the kingdom of God with anything. It is a gift of God. You got to receive it. Look at verse 21. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is no right in the sight of God. Wow. Repent. Here is the formula. Therefore, of these thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven. For I perceive that thou art poison of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. That's all of us before say we were poison. And Simon said the right things. Pray, verse 24, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of those things happen. It is a gift. If you turn your Bible to John 1 and in verse 12 and 13, the Bible tells us that the commonwealth of God is a gift. The commonwealth of God is a gift. It is a gift. It's not something that you purchase. The Bible said, but as many as accept him, you need to take that gift, accept him, to them give he power to become the children of God, to everyone that believe in his name. And then verse 13 again explain how this happened. He said, which were born not of human stock, that means blood, not a human desire, that means will, not a human will, but of God. God have the pleasure to give you that gift. You accept it. God is in business to give you a gift. You don't work for, you don't pay for, you don't do anything. God wants you to be a member of the commonwealth of God so that you can exhibit the excellency of those members, but it's a gift. It is a gift. Nor even you have to take an exam. It is a gift. Are you willing? Are you willing to receive that gift? Most people do not. You know why? Because they are proud. They are proud. It's very hard for me to receive a gift. I'm always giving. And so when somebody says, this is for you, I'm afraid to take it. And that's sin. But it's not that I'm proud, but I say, oh, this for me? Yeah. I'm just sweating. Or somebody give me, I'm always giving something. And when somebody, once in a while, somebody said, this is for you. So, I don't know what to do. For hours, I'm still trembling. I receive a gift. But I accept it. And now it's mine. That's what we did with Jesus. One day, the Holy Spirit told us they were poisoned. And we want the medicine. The medicine is called Jesus Christ, his blood on Calvary's cross. We believe it and accept the sacrifice of Christ. That's all you have to do. No paying, no memorizing anything. Believe that Jesus died for you. The rest will be history. God will seal you with the Holy Spirit, as we studied last Sunday. And then after that, instantaneously, you have a full right to be a member of the commonwealth of God. May God bless us, that we who are members of the commonwealth of God never be proud of, but be respectable of, and follow him and all what he wants. Father, we thank you that in thee, you have taken care of us by giving us a desire to accept that gift of God. And Father, above all, we are so delighted that you have given us an outline and what is expected of a member of the commonwealth of heaven. Lord, we talk a lot, we know a lot, but oh God, give us the grace to perform. So that our wife, our husband, our children, our neighbors, our church members, the city in which we live, will know by the way we live that we belong to heaven. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
I want to
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.